How sweet it is when brethren walk together in unity. I want to talk with you today about something that I brought up while John and Tim were both gone. And that is institutionalism and orphan home question. And maybe I was misunderstood when I said that I didn't believe that the congregation could take out of our collection or out of our funds and send to an orphan home. So I kind of want to clarify that today. So two Sundays ago, orphans were mentioned. And I don't want anybody to think that I do not believe in helping orphans. I believe some misunderstood me to say that you cannot help orphans. And I don't want you to believe that about me, nor do I want you to believe it about others in the church. There needs to be an understanding between what an individual can do and what the local congregation can do. And I want to say before I even begin that division can come very easily. In fact, whenever I obeyed the gospel, there was a group that had started a church because they believed everybody else was wrong, and therefore they built an upper room Church of Christ. And they put it upon stilts, and it was high in the air, and then they finally had to tear it down because somebody pointed out that there wasn't a lower room. But we can divide about anything. And we find that that's going to happen over and over and over. And how we deal with it is paramount in the safety of the church. Many have the idea that whatever the individual Christian can do, the congregation can do. And that just isn't so. Nobody is going to come into my home and tell me how I'm going to treat my wife as such and how we're going to go to dinner or wherever. The church doesn't do that. It doesn't raise our children. It doesn't do any of those things. And Jesus ate with sinners, but the church does not eat with sinners. We as individuals do indeed eat with sinners. And we invite sinners. We love to be with sinners. But we have a different food here, and that is we're going to eat the Lord's Supper, and we're going to eat the Word of God, and we're going to do that with Christians. Jesus fed a multitude of people, and people say, well, we ought to feed the multitude. If you remember, Jesus quit after feeding that multitude. He said he found out that they were only following him because he fed them with physical food and how he was going to give them spiritual food. And so he wasn't being hard-hearted. We have two disciples that went into a fishing business. That was John and James. Wasn't it John and James? I believe it was. The church can't go into the fishing business. Except fishing for men. And individual members can operate a grocery store. We could all go together and say we want to go into this and make some money, and we could all put our money together and we could do it. But not the church. I just want you to understand that before I even get started. Are orphans to be cared for? Now I want you to follow this closely because I'm telling you what I believe. And so I'm not accused of not loving orphans. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So that right away says, if I believe that, I believe in helping orphans. I just do not believe that the church is to do it. So I'm going to give you a little history. I was obeyed the gospel in 1959, and I came into a controversy that I never expected and I could not understand. And it took me quite a while of studying, and I'm just going to tell you, we can come to different conclusions, but how we settle them is really the problem. How we settle these problems, and I don't know whether you know it, we've had members here that believed exactly what I'm teaching against. And we got along fine. Because they loved us. And they didn't try to force upon us something that I did not believe or you did not believe. The Gospel Advocate magazine, and this was when they were putting out magazines. One was against the other was against this one, and they were trying to persuade the congregations. They put out a quarantine against all of those who preached the gospel who opposed any institutional setup. And I'm not talking about the institution of the church. It's set up in a different way, but not like the Catholic Church or any of that. But an institution outside of the church to really do the work of the church. And it was in this that I couldn't understand why people were fighting, because coming from the Baptist church, we there supported orphans, and we supported widows, and we supported all of these things. So I came into a church that I thought, wow, this doesn't seem right. And from the emotional standpoint, I could not see why this congregation could not support these institutions. And then I finally changed my mind on that. But anyway, I learned how mean some that call themselves brethren can be. And there is nothing more vicious than that happening in a congregation. It wasn't because there was disagreement. It was because it turned into a hatred campaign by many. And I'm not saying all, but in both sides, there were some that were just so mean that you just couldn't stand them. And you say, well, I can't understand that ever happening in the church. And I can only compare it this way. It's like the Democrats and the Republicans. Everybody is yelling and nobody can understand each other. And when people are yelling at each other, it cannot be understood. We are hell-bent on the idea that we're going to have our way. And everybody else can take the road. So oftentimes we go through issues like that and people are not listening to one another at all. All they hear is you can't support orphan homes. They don't hear the congregation. They don't hear what's really being said. And we come away with the idea, well, the church is a very selfish group. I want to try to clear that up this morning. This whole issue did not start over orphans. And I don't even really like to preach upon this subject. And the reason why I'm preaching it is because misunderstandings come. It started over setting up an institution to do the work for the local congregations. This goes way, way back. So this is the story of institutionalism. And I hope it clears up things for people so that they will understand and try to prevent what happened in the past from happening in the future. First of all, what was not the issue? And many times, the issue is not what people accuse you of. It was not whether orphans should be taken care of, because both sides thought that they should be. Well, and it was not who was loving and caring and who wanted to help orphans the most. I can remember people saying about the people of this congregation and about the other congregations that did not believe in it, they just hate orphans. They don't like orphans. They don't care of one thing about orphans. And that wasn't true. Both sides cared about orphans. What was the issue? Watch this. They put a middleman organization standing between the church and the work to be done by the church. That's where the problem started. I believe each congregation is to do its own work, what God has assigned for it to do. And you do not need anything outside of that to get the work done as far as the actual work. In business, we sometimes talk about the middleman. And that is, you buy a product, it leaves the factory, you've got to pay the delivery man, you've got to pay the wholesaler, you've got to pay the retailer, and by the time you get it all around, you've paid a lot of extra money. I want to try to illustrate this so that we all understand it clearly. There is the autonomy of the local church. That means that there's not any other congregation over this one, and there's not any group of men over this congregation. We are the ones that are amenable to Christ, and we are the ones that listen to Him, and we do what we believe that the church is supposed to do. Christ is the head of the church. I think everybody believes the same thing on that. That without Christ speaking, we have no authority to do anything. And the apostles worked through delegated authority, that is, Jesus gave them, delegated to them, even though they didn't have authority, they exercised authority because He told them what to do and told them what to say. So Christ is still in charge. On the local congregation, the elders work overseeing and guiding the local congregation. And those elders cannot oversee anything but this local congregation. You cannot oversee two or three, and this is where the Catholic Church really started. It started whenever elders of the big town decided that they wanted to be elders over the little towns, and they set up their dioceses. Christ and the apostles work over individuals and the local church. In other words, I hear people say, you know, we ought to have authority for what we do in religion. We ought to have authority for what we do in religion and what we're to do as individuals too. Not just the church, but also for the individuals in their daily walk. And all of us are members of the universal church. He says to the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Not among the others, but among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So elders are to be over a congregation. We are lacking in that here. And someday, maybe we will have elders. God did not arrange a middleman organization. I'm trying to make this as simple as I can. We could speak for days and weeks upon this subject. We're going to do it all in this one session. You have a local congregation that is autonomy. They are self-governing. Nobody is over them. You have another congregation, and then you have another congregation, and you have another congregation, and there are thousands of congregations. I can remember one of the things that I had when I came here. There was a concept somehow or another that this local congregation is the body of Christ. I do not believe that. I believe that the universal church is made up of individuals and that congregations do not make up the total church. Anytime you start talking dollars, we're getting ready to have trouble if we don't use it in the right way. And so I'm taking all of these churches, and here's what happened. They set up an institutional board to do their work in certain areas. Everybody follow that? They set up an organization or an institution to do the work. And I'll give you an example. The Missionary Society, when you go all the way back, if you remember, we started out, the people were called the Church of Christ, or they were called Disciples of Christ. Both were right. They were the same group. And then finally there was a division over missionary societies. That is, that the bunch set themselves up as going to be over other congregations as they sent their money into them. Then they would send out preachers, and many of the small congregations couldn't do that, but this way they could do it. And so they sent out missionaries for them. That split the church. You have to decide whether that's right or wrong. Then they had the Herald of Truth, and that was, we're going to preach the gospel for you. We'll send out men to preach the gospel, and you will be represented as we send them out. The problem was over that board that was over the churches. The institutional board is made up of Christians from many congregations. All of these come together as a board. And the money goes from the churches to the institutional board, which in turn provides housing, supervision, food, and whatever is needful for the care of these orphans. Everybody following me? And it seems good. I'm just going to add something here, and that's Tim's sermon. Seems like a good idea. But does it meet what God says? I think everybody would say, well, that seemed like a good idea. But it wasn't. There's the issue, the institutional board that provides oversight for the work of the churches of Christ. That's what the division's about. One group overseeing the funds of congregations. Should any institution decide anything about this congregation? That's the question. Should we release ourselves or our finances to them to oversee something that we ought to be doing ourselves? So what's wrong with that? The answer is there's no authority for this institutional board as an overseeing body for the work of churches. And people say, well, how did they get into this? Did they both use the Bible? And yes, they did. They both used the Bible. I'm going to try to explain that real quickly in a little bit. Those who objected and raised the question, where is the authority for the board that stands between the churches and the work that needs to be done? And they tried to give passages. I want us to look at some passages, though, we make our decision from. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Anytime you do anything in the name of somebody, you do it by their authority. Any authority for this board, when you search the pages of God's word, where do you see this board? If you see the board, then you've got scriptural authority. If you don't, you don't. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given, breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So anyone teaching the gospel, they need to use the word of God to be able to prove it. Where does God mention anyone overseeing a congregation besides Christ? He's to oversee them, the apostles, and the elders. That's all that is supposed to oversee a congregation. In 2 John 9, whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If the outside board is according to the doctrine of Christ, it's good. If it's outside of the doctrine of Christ, it's bad. It's not good. The shift in issue. We started out on institutionalism. The question was then asked, does the church have the responsibility to take care of the orphans in the first place? And I want you just to imagine for just a minute, we wake up today, somebody comes in, runs in, and sets an orphan right down there. There's a little baby right there in the middle of the aisle. What are we going to do? Well, the natural response is, write it a check. That child wouldn't know what to do with the check, would it? Does that take care of the child? How does a congregation burp a baby? Individuals find a place for the baby. Now, what would probably happen is that we will say there's some people that want to take them, but the state won't let you. The baby will be taken care of. Do I want to support that baby? Let me tell you what the people here that believe that you should support orphan homes did. Once a month, they wrote a check and sent it to the orphan home. Well, that's too easy of a solution. You get that? Their love said, I love the congregation enough there, and most of them do not believe in doing it. We can still accomplish what we need to accomplish by doing it ourselves. And those people even believed in having a piano. We didn't announce that to anybody, but they told me, we believe in having a piano. There's nothing wrong with it. But they loved us enough that they didn't do it. I think I'm giving you the solution here. We try to force upon people something that they don't want to be forced into, and therefore the division comes. Is this making sense? A congregation does not have the facilities to take care of an orphan. I wasn't going to bring this up, but I'm going to tell you, when I first became a Christian, it wasn't long after, there was a Church of Christ orphan home in Ojai. We decided my wife and I, that we would like to adopt one of those children. But we didn't make enough money. I was taking care of other kids, but I couldn't take care of another one. The individual Christian has the responsibility. I want to make sure that we understand that. If anyone, you hear that? If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. The one that's to keep himself unspotted from the world is the one that's supposed to visit the orphans and widows. Just that simple. It is not the church doing it, but rather the individual is taken to do that job. Now all who believed were together and had all things common. Isn't that wonderful that we here have every sufficiency? In Acts 4, 34 and 35, nor was there any among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land, houses, sold them and brought them the proceeds to the things that were sold, laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as everyone had need. In other words, they're taking care of the needs of the congregation. And then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. And then in Romans 15, 25 and 26, but now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased for those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. Here Paul is, he's going, he's one of the messengers. Each congregation chose their own messengers to take the money. He's going there, and along the way, somebody comes along and says, well, there's some orphan over here. Oh, well, I've got money from the church. I'll give it to them. No, he was to take it to the saints. But that didn't relieve him of individual responsibility. I want you to see this. Now, concerning the collection for the who? Saints. I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. In other words, they give them the money, and where are they to take it? To Jerusalem, to the saints in Jerusalem. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it's superfluous for me to write to you. We're getting some scripture here. The question is, should the church be helping non-Christians? I didn't say should we be helping non-Christians. I said should the church, that is the money that we have, is that for those? Here's the passage that was used so much from the other group. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We are to help all, is the argument. What does therefore refer to? Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will be have rejoicing in himself alone, and not another. For each shall bear his own burden. Let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he shall also reap. Is that something an individual does? Or the church does? That's who it's to. It really becomes quite simple. And if we take the simplicity out of it, we get into trouble. The second passage, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. Who are the all men? Think of that. We see these things and he said, well, there it is, and we grab hold of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is dealing with the contribution that the churches of Macedonia and Achaia are making for the poor saints in Jerusalem. We've already referred to this contribution. Contributions for whom? The poor saints. All men of the poor saints. What poor saints? The poor saints in Jerusalem. This making sense, Paige? But the pronouns of verse 9 are plural, someone says. Plural, the plurality can be of individuals. Let me show you something. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. That's every individual, every Christian. Every Christian will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're not so much standing there before the judgment seat of Christ as a congregation, although that's taken into account earlier on in Revelation. But we are there, and each one will stand there and be judged. Who takes care of the poor? In Galatians 2, 9 and 10, and listen to this because I'm about to end it up. I just hope I've got it all straight. And when James, Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me. They gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. Are we to take care of the poor? Yes. Who? Well, Paul and Barnabas, not the church. The church could not take care of the poor if it wanted to. Every individual wants that for everybody. They want them taken care of. So in the conclusion, here it is. Each congregation is to do its own work. We are not to use any kind of institution to do our work for us. Orphans need a physical family. And I want to just say this. When we get to yelling at each other, we're going to have a problem. So what do we do? Figure out how we can do it without involving people that do not believe you can. There are some things that we are dogmatic about. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and so on. But other things, I don't say people that do these things are going to hell. What I say is I can't attend there because I cannot support that kind of work. Can it be solved? Yes, by love. Beware of anything ending with an ism. The church takes care of the church needs. And the individual Christian help in need if they can. To help somebody, you have to first have opportunity, and then you have to have ability. If you don't have those two things, you can't help anybody. But we can try to get other people to do it. So that's the lesson. I don't like to preach these kind of lessons, but I hope you understand what I believe when I finish this up. So you probably won't hear another lesson on this. You know, I want you to remember something. This congregation, by many congregations, are considered to be an unsound congregation. And do you know why? Because they assume that everything the preacher believes, me, you believe. And that's not true. So, don't judge a congregation by what a preacher believes. Judge a congregation by what a congregation does. So, that's the lesson. And if you're here and we can help you, we hope to bring you in to a group that does not fight. And I'm saying miserably towards each other, calling each other bad names. Just come. Jesus wants you, and Jesus died for you, and you can obey the gospel today. Won't you come?